Houston, is 17.
Roger, Gino, I think we got you now, go ahead. Okay, Gino, I think we got you now.
Houston,
go ahead.
17. Okay, I just happen to be throwing a few switches, and I see our helium tank temperature on Quad A is about 95 or so, and the others are quite low. Is that because of our attitude there during the LEM checkout?
That's affirmative. That's the reason.
Okay, I also see the tank, the package temperature a little higher on that quad too, but being close to 100, it seemed a little unusual. You're happy, right?
That's firm, no problem. We've been watching it and it seems to be coming down now.
Okay, fine, thank you. Houston, you want the H2 heaters to auto and the fan 3 off now?
Stand by, Jack. That's affirmative, Jack. Go ahead.
Okay, that's done.
It's now 21-0, Cowboys, second quarter.
Super Bowl, here they come. Watch out now.
Should remind you that the Commander-in-Chief is a Redskin fan.
I read about that. That's why the Cowboys need as much help as they can get. Continuing saga of looking at the earth through rose-colored glasses. I tried a blue-colored glass, and it, as you might expect, completely masks out the continent. The land areas, they're just not visible through the blue. Otherwise, the ocean and cloud, the contrasting ocean and clouds remains about the same.
Roger, Jack.
And, Gordy, I tried putting all the filters we had together to check the sun for sunspots, but just not quite enough light attenuation to do that.
Okay. For a while, I thought you were a human weather satellite. Now I think you're a human Earth resources satellite.
Well, about all I can say is I'm a satellite, I guess. It looks as if the distribution of water and ice in the Ross Sea has changed in the last day or two. I don't remember looking at it yesterday specifically, but it seems to be different today than it was the first day.
Roger.
650.
Go ahead, Jack.
Yeah, about this ice pack in the Ross Sea. The as I remember, a couple days ago, there were two clear areas, triangular in shape and quite elongate, that were projecting out into the sea from the innermost part of the bay, or of the from the continent. Today those are not apparent, at least the first look I made. It looks like there's an elongate, more irregular clear area that is roughly parallel to the Antarctic coastline within the sea itself. We'll check that a little more closely and see if that's right.
Okay. Seems like kind of a quick change for something like ice, doesn't it?
Yeah, and that's what bothers me. That's why I wonder if I'm not being fooled by cloud patterns or something.
I'm looking at a satellite picture here, which I guess is around 12 hours old, though. But over to the east of Australia, maybe about a continent width east of Australia, is a really striking long frontal system. Striking because it's so long and so straight. Sort of west-northwest, trending west-northwest and east-southeast trending. Can you see that?
Gordo, are you there?
Yes, sir. Right here.
Okay, now, Jack and I may be talking about two different frontal systems or patterns, but the one I think you might be referring to is the one I referred to yesterday as a ruffled parrot beak. Actually, two of them tied together. One starting up probably southeast of Australia, and then heading down with a long arcing frontal system to another clockwise rotational parrot's cone, I should say, down around near the tip of South America, between it and Antarctica. There's one strong tributary front heading up to the north and northwest from the western side of this big arcing frontal mass. And I think that's probably what you're referring to. I'm not sure. I can't quite see Australia coming up over the over the horizon yet.
Okay, my picture cuts off right about the 2/3 of the way south in Australia, that latitude, so most likely we're talking about the same thing, but I can't verify the southern part of it.
There's some tremendous, on the western side of that curve front is a tremendous clockwise rotational air mass. It must cover hundreds of square miles. The one down near the continent of Antarctica down there, near the tip of South America, seems to be squashed slightly, as if there's possibly some squashing or effect coming off the South Pole area near Antarctica. I think if I turn around and look at it the way Jack was looking at it, it's a cap of a mushroom. Only instead of simply curving in underneath the cap, it has clockwise rotations on both sides as it curves under.
Roger.
This is Apollo Control at 6426 ground elapsed time. The Space Digitals, meanwhile, has come back to moon reference numbers. Our distance now from the moon is 45,955 nautical miles. Velocity 3,300 feet per second. And the Earth is 183,365 nautical miles behind Apollo 17. Shift change press conference at 4:15 with Flight Director Neil Hutchinson. Chuck Lewis taking over now with his team of flight controllers at 6427 and continuing to stay up live on the air ground. This is Apollo Control.
Gordy, where did you say your ATS satellite picture left off to the west?
Okay, to the west it goes clear on over to Africa, but to the south it cuts off about 30 south or not quite all of Australia.
Okay. Yeah, that mushroom pattern we've been talking about on either end of the cap, and the mushroom points north, is a major cyclone circulation system. And also taking, moving in one case, or trending in one case to the northwest and the other to the northeast, there are linear cloud patterns. Gives it a very symmetrical and striking appearance. I hope it shows on those pictures.
Okay, it doesn't show on the one I got. Maybe a later version will have that one. Because it's cut off on this one. Go ahead.
To put this update in simple terms, at 65, I guess, on our clock, you'll update us to about 6740, right?
That's affirmative.
Does that mean we have to eat 2 hours and 40 minutes earlier?
Oh, you got me there. You haven't eaten since breakfast, is that right?
Oh, yes, sir. We just finished. We'll take another go at it, but I feel I've been spending my life here eating.
Yeah, well, we'll leave it up to you on this special case here.
Okay, I think we'll take a jab at supper here later in the day as per the flight plan.
All right.
The whole suiting operation I was really very pleased with. Jack and I both got in our suits very easily, and one by one we went into the limb, and that's where we zipped each other up, and we really had little or no trouble. We took our time. We got all configured in terms of changing our pockets around and whatever else we needed to do. And I think it's much easier to get suited than it is to get unsuited, personally.
Okay, sounds good.
Ron, stay flight suited and did the entire tunnel work, and then went did it by himself, and then totally doffed his suit and stowed it by himself also to sort of extend that little exercise.
Roger.
This is Apollo Control at 64 hours, 43 minutes. Change of shift news conference is ready to begin in the news center briefing room. We'll take this line down now and tape for the duration of the news conference. This is Apollo Control at 67 hours, 45 minutes. We have advanced the ground elapsed time clock in the control center, and on the flight plan are operating at the point indicated for that time. In the news center, the monitors, the actual GET time will be shown on the time base 5 clock. The GET clock will now show the flight plan GET time. And in the flight plan, the central standard times and GET times listed will now agree and be correct. We accumulated a few minutes of tape during the news conference, and we'll play that for you now.
America, Houston, the halftime score is 28-3, Cowboys.
Keep talking, Gordo.
Okay, I'll keep talking. I've learned that when you get to the Alphamed and pull it out there, you'll see some tape around the emulsion shields. Those are three rectangular areas in front of your eyes and to either side that contain the photographic emulsion. This tape is around the edges of each of those three areas to help seal out light leaks. You haven't seen it before. Leave the tape on there. Don't pull it off. Over.
Okay. Gordy just took a series of pictures of the Earth with the 35mm using the polarizing filter in the two positions. And the frame count is now 39. I took six pictures. And with the filter on the first of each pair, in the down position, the second's in the up position, and I changed the f-stop from the first set at f4, the second set at f2, and the third set at f8.
Okay, we got all that, Jack.
And Gordy, you might ask one of the experts around there, and is the light meter in the 35mm integrating over the interior spot or over the hairline spot, the larger one?
Okay, I'll ask.
It acts as if it's the interior one, but
okay. Jack, answer to your question is the center spot is weighted for 60% of the reading and the rest of it for 40%. Over.
Okay, that makes sense. That would explain why the needle moved as I moved it across the series of spots.
Okay. You're sounding great.
Doing great out here.
Dano, we're ready for the clock update. We'd like poo and accept, and we've got two loads to put in, so it'll take a couple minutes here.
Okay, you got it?
Thank you, Ren. Update on your flyby maneuver pad due to this clock update. Would you like to copy it?
Stand by just 1 second. Okay, Houston, go ahead with the flyby pad.
Okay, stand by one on that on our end. We're done with the we're done with the upload. This, the computer is yours, and we need a readout on the TFM.
Okay, that didn't work.
Okay, we've got the readout. Houston, the data looks good. You're good to copy it, and recommend you copy it into the flight plan supplement. And that's on page 1-43 of the supplement.
Okay, Houston, we have it.
This is Apollo Control. We're back live on air ground now.
And 17, we got that flyby pad now. If you're still ready, we're ready.
Okay, is this a full pad or just a change to the other one?
It's just a change, Jack. It's a change to 983, the GETI, and the change to the bottom line, the GET of 05G. Just two changes.
Okay, go ahead.
Jack, if you just add 2 hours and 40 minutes to each one of them, it's it. The GETI is 08154439er. The GET is 05G 156-0403. Jack, I guess I read 81. I was looking at the old pad. It's 83083 on the GETI.
You're too fast for me. I was just going to chew you out.
Sorry about that, Jack. I got it around the room.
083. 083-54-4349. 156-0403.
Roger.
Okay, Bob, we got all our clocks set on board.
Roger, I understand.
What was the exact amount of that update time?
2 hours, 40 minutes, 2 plus 40.
Okay, 2 plus 40 exactly, thank you. Okay, Bob, we're going to work up an appetite with the AlphaMed today.
Roger.
Hey, Bob, it may be a little premature, but I don't think so, but I think there was some good thinking into that update, looking at the flight plan up until now, and where we go from here, I don't think we overlooked a thing.
Roger, like I said the other night, we gave Tommy a gold star on that one.
Except I think he and Rita got in cahoots.
A little soon for supper, huh?
Yeah, we just finished lunch, and it's about time to eat again.
That's known as the simulator step ahead.
Can you give us our distance from the moon or from the Earth?
Oh, Roger. Stand by net.
Are we about 5,000 miles closer now?
Don't you wish.
Well, isn't that the way these step heads work?
Normally, yes, but this one didn't work that way. Jack, you're at 183,000 miles. It's really amazing how time flies when you're interested in your work, isn't it? Jack Houston, did you read your my last call with the distance?
This is Apollo Control. It's 68 hours, 1 minute. Apollo 17 is 183,211 nautical miles from Earth. Velocity, 2,521 feet per second. The spacecraft communicator now is Bob Overmeyer. Stu Roosa, the backup command module pilot for Apollo 17, is also at the Capcom console with Overmeyer.
Houston 17.
Go ahead, 17.
Okay, Bob, we're getting ready for the AlphaMed. I just took a red filter and a blue filter pictures, two pictures on frame 41 now with a 35 millimeter. Pictures of the Earth. And I took them one stop smaller, that is more open. Then the light meter set, hoping to compensate for the small Earth. The Earth just barely fills the most innermost circle of the spot meter. Also, there's a very strong band of clouds shaped sort of like a narrow fir tree with a base about 20 degrees of longitude west of Baja California that extends up, I believe, to the vicinity of Hawaii. And the top terminates in a very strong northern cyclone pattern.
Roger, Jack. Was your magazine Sierra Sierra?
That's firm, Sierra Sierra.
Roger, Jack. And you say that cloud is right, the cloud area is right near Baja, California. I've got a picture of it here in front of me from one of the satellites.
No, it's about 20 degrees west, longitude degrees west of that.
Yeah, okay, we've got it on the cloud
maybe
here.
Even more than that. Okay, maybe even more than that. It's, as much as 40 degrees west, and see, Hawaii may be on the west side of that. It's a little hard to tell. It's close enough to the limb that it's hard to say.
Roger, Jack. I think I've got it on our map here. It shows a pretty heavy, dense cloud area right down that area you're talking about.
This is Apollo Control at 68 hours, 7 minutes. AlfMed, is Apollo light flash moving?
For the AlfMed, CDR will be in the left seat. CMP will be in the center seat with the AlfMed. For our reporting, when we get the Vox, we'll just call out our first name to shorten it, and the comments following. And Jack will be recording.
Roger, we'll be listening.
That's the Apollo light flash moving emulsion detector associated with the visual light flash phenomenon that most crews have reported on past missions, seeing points of light in their eyes when their eyes were closed. A couple of theories proposed on the origin of the flashes. One is that they are caused by cosmic rays. The other is that they are high-energy atomic particles which enter the eyeball or ionize upon collision with the retina or cerebral cortex. The AlfMed is a emulsion plate device that Ron Evans will wear. It'll cover the front and sides of his head and will provide information on time, strength, and path of particles penetrating the emulsion plates. The other two crewmen will wear eye shields. This test will last for approximately an hour. And the data on the recorded by the AlfMed device will be correlated with the crewman's verbal reports on flash observations.
Houston, how do you read on Vox with the lightweight headset?
Read you loud and clear, Ron.
Okay. Yeah, wait a minute. Let me get this little Vox set to go here first.
Okay.
Yeah. power's off. Yeah, power switch is off. Okay, it's connected now. Okay, utility power is on. Okay. Let me get strapped in here somehow. Float all over. Okay, my blindfold's going on now. Okay. Sounds like they quit. Okay, somebody will have to help me put this thing on now. Yeah, just kind of like so, yeah. Yeah, it goes around the other way. Yep, got it. Gotta maintain your head and face. a stop right now. Operate while you're taking the pictures here.
Hello, Houston. CDR put his blindfold on at 68-18.
Okay, we copy that.
And how do you read me in box, Bob? This is Gene.
Reads loud and clear, Gene.
Okay, I'm conducting the experiment. And the frame Sierra is now at 4-5. I got two shots, two from the side and two from the bottom.
Roger, copy.
Okay, let's make a countdown for ready to go, Jack.
Hey, Bob, does it make any difference if your eyes are open or closed?
Hey, it may be a personal thing, Gene. This is Stu. I had to have my eyes closed, but give it either way.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, we'll count down to start. 3, 2, 1, mark it. It's buzzing.
exercise not very good. Again. Both eyes, this time the same flashes on the horizon, but they don't seem to be moving out of both eyes. Tend to be up at the tops of both eyes. Just rapid sequential lightning-like flashes. They've stopped. Again, similar type of flashes. They don't seem to be moving, but they're coming from the right of the right eye and from the upper left of the right eye. And I can actually see an outline of a curved horizon, and the flashes are coming out from behind it. They've stopped.
This is Apollo Control at 68 hours, 30 minutes. Distance from Earth, 183,910 nautical miles.
And I see peripherally out of my right eye, I cannot see these flashes, but I can see peripherally the right-hand and upper right-hand side of my right eye being lit up.
Distance 183,920 nautical miles, velocity 2,504 feet per second.
All I know is that there was some light out peripherally, out, yeah, but a flashing glow. Oh man, there's a good one, the left eye, right in the middle. It's almost a purple flash, it's still going. Right in the middle of my eye, and it's coming out from behind a horizon. It starts out as a semicircle and then folds into a point like on a pencil, and then it disappears. That's a horizon, and the light is flashing from behind it. It's gone.
Hey, Gene, Houston.
Go ahead.
Okay, according to all our experts here, the phenomena you're describing is pretty much the phosphine effect, sort of like when you rub your eyes or squint your eyes too hard, because the effect is lasting too long. The streaks or the flashes that we're looking for are very fast. They do not remain as a scene to your eye. And I guess the only thing we can say would be to maybe either relax your squint a little bit or to, if the blindfold's on, exceptionally tight. I know this sounds kind of screwy, but those are the words that we'd like to say to you. But the actual phenomena we're looking for will be a very short-lived phenomena. It'll either be a flash or a very fast streak, something along this. We're not trying to load the data, but we feel you're describing a different phenomenon.
We lost all that last conversation. You better repeat it.
Okay, Gene. Sorry about that. And here I thought I'd wax so eloquently. But the effect you're describing is an effect that can come from rubbing your eyes or perhaps squinting too hard, but the effect we're looking for, and I guess we're really not trying to load the data, but the effect that we're looking for is a very short-lived phenomena and would not...
Mark, Ron, I got one right eye coming from Buck Gordon toward very narrow street.
And Gene, I guess our only words of wisdom are try to relax the eyes a little bit, or if you've got the blindfold on exceptionally tight, you might work on that. But just I guess sort of relax and see if we can see the other phenomena.
Okay. Mark, Ron, one about 12 o'clock in the right eye, looked like it was just a spot. 15 seconds ago. It's so dim, I hardly noticed what it was, but kind of starting in the left eye, and then just a flash in the left eye, and then a flash in the right eye. Very dim. Going left from left to right. Delves right or left eye. Looks like it's almost between the two eyes. There's a mark, one in the left eye, just about right in the center. Spot, no streak or anything, just a spot. First spot seemed to be right between the two eyes. Upper half of the field of view.
straight from the upper right of the right eye down to about the middle.
Ron, about 8 o'clock, with the diameter out, just a bright flash. It's the brightest flash I've seen yet. Left eye.
Just about a second or two after Ron said, Mark, I saw a vertical bright line on the left side of the left eye. Just flashed.
Was a greatest intensity on that last one I had, but and the brightness was there, but it was kind of a dull glow to it. It wasn't a spot that you could really focus on. Mark, Ron, left eye, about 9:30, halfway
Mark.
To the left.
Gee, left eye, very bright spot. Left eye, left side, about halfway in towards the middle. That was the brightest one I've seen. It was just a spot.
The intensity of the last one I had was a fourth of the bright one I had before that. Spot, yeah, on the left eye. Mark, about 5 seconds ago, about 6 o'clock in the right eye. Mark, right between the two eyes, seemed like. Both spots.
Mark, Gene, a sharp line from the center of the left eye to the upper left-hand side. Just a very short line, upper left hand of left eye going towards the right.
This is Apollo Control. It's 68 hours, 57 minutes. Apollo 17's distance from Earth is 184,548 nautical miles, traveling at a speed of 2,488 feet per second.
Mark, Gene, upper right eye, tangential to my eye, just a very short line. Moving,
Mark. Ron, a fourth of diameter out in the right eye. Bright spot seemed like it was coming in. I could see the spot and then the streak went from that point kind of in or up, I guess.
Gene, a dull flash on the bottom inside corner of the right eye.
Ron.
Go ahead, Gene. Correction, Gene, that was on the left eye, that last one.
Okay, that last mark for Ron was at 10 o'clock, 3/4 of the diameter out. Just a low. Itself is only 1/8 of an inch in diameter. Right eye. Mark, Gene, Mark again, a flash, first flash was in the left eye, on the left side it went vertically up and away, and following that was a flash in the identically same spot, it was a line flash up and away. On the left side of each eye, and it went up in both cases, but they were split by about 2 seconds. Park, Ron. Fourth of a diameter out at 3 o'clock in the right eye. I mean a half diameter. Half a radius, put it that way.
Mark, Gene, a flash across the bottom of the right eye coming inward from left to right.
Last of it looked like it was a...
Mark, Gene, just a spot flash in the bottom of the left eye.
That's on my last one there. It was just a spot flash. No direction to it at all.
This is Apollo Control. It's 69 hours, 15 minutes. Apollo 17's distance from Earth, 184,987 nautical miles. Velocity, 2,477 feet per second.
Mark, Rod, both are down about 6:30, just a flash, right eye. Mark, Ron, left eye, about 3:30, three-quarters of the radius out. Very dim flash. Mark, Ron, left eye, starting at 5 o'clock on the circumference, going to 3 o'clock, about three-quarter diameter, three-quarter radius, I mean, and just a straight line. Okay, let's...
that it? Yeah, I got that, Jane. Bob or Stu?
Roger, go ahead.
Okay, to add to today, not last night, but I guess the first night I was in bed, I definitely saw some of these, because I had a hard time going to bed to start with. I saw some of the same peripheral horizon type things you said were not the type of data you're looking for, but I also saw some sets of the streaks, and probably the one most imposing thing I remember is, and the last one I remember before falling asleep, was the fact that there was a very bright spot that flashed right between my eyes like a very bright headlight, like a train coming at you, only with a flash. It's difficult probably to estimate the frequency of any of those because I was in a sort of a sleep-hazy mode.
Roger.
But then as today, I saw some that flashed and lit up the horizon and some that lit up peripherally, and I guess, as you say, that's different kind of data, but I did see them there and they impressed me.
Okay. We got all that, Gene.
Okay.
And it might be interesting to know, I've never seen them before today.
Hey, Gene, we appreciate all the data. We were just trying to make the data fit the curve. You know the old trick.
Okay. I just wanted you to just tell them like we saw them, that's all.
Raj.
I will say one thing, though. No question in my mind, but that they're there. Last trip I took, I guess I just wasn't looking for them or paying any attention to them. Maybe they were there and I ignored them because of other things, but they're there. Okay, all you flash bugs down there, or flash bulbs, I guess is the word. Frame 50. I just took four pictures to show two on the side and two on the bottom to show the position of the op-med. And one of them, each set was focused on the op-med. The others were focused on the other two of the set was focused on the struts.
Roger, Jack.
And when you guys have anything else to do, why don't you have somebody predict where the S-4B is? I think I've got her spotted. Behind us and above us. Respect to the Earth and our travel from it.
Fido just went out and shot himself, but we'll get working on it.
Oh, don't worry about it. Shoot, I thought you guys might have an idea off the cuff there.
What's humorous on this, Jack, is they've really been working on that S-4B impact point, and they've really been, it's been a real difficult problem for them so far.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I bet your Ron could give you a star sighting on it. I looked at it through the monocular, and it sure looks like S4B.
Jack, we're not doubting you at all. We could probably start cranking it right now. Jack, are you all still in the Alphaman now, or are you done?
What's that, what?
Are you all done with the Alphamed now, Ron?
Yeah, I gotta get it to get the plate to go back down there yet.
Okay, Ron.
I think a plane pulled off first, so I can see what I'm doing.
Roger, just want you to know we've got a real long update coming up to you here on the LOI abort charts and that, and it's gonna be probably a difficult read up. And you're the most familiar with the charts, you probably would want to take them, but whenever you want to take them, they're on charts on page 381, 382, and then the cue card for LOI limits. Whenever you want to take them, and it'll be a lengthy one.
Stand by, Bob. Let us get squared away from the Alphamed, and then we'll get going on that.
No, I don't want to hurry you on. I just want you to know get yourself comfortable and be ready to take them whenever you want them. It's going to be a lengthy time, though.
Okay. Hey, Bob, I'm looking at what Jack was talking about, and it's definitely not a particle that's nearby, because there is another one I can look at and get a three-dimensional comparison with. It is a bright object, and it's obviously rotating because it's flashing. It's way out in the distance, as I say, because there are particles that are close by, and it's obviously not one of those. It's apparently rotating in a very rhythmic fashion because the flashes come around almost on time. And it's, as we look back at the Earth, it's up at about 11 o'clock, about, maybe 10 or 12 Earth diameters. I don't know whether that does you any good, but there's something out there.
Right, we don't doubt it, Gene, and we might work up a set of gimbal angles or something here. Maybe we could look at it through the optics.
Okay. And I just want to emphasize it's definitely not one of these particles that tends to look like a star out there. It's something physical in the distance.
Hey, Gene, if you can call up a noun 20 so we know the spacecraft attitude, and if you can reference the object you're looking at out of your window with respect to body axis, and let us look at your and give us a mark somehow and give us your noun 20s, we can try and get a tie-in and start locating this object down for you.
When it crosses the XX axis of the center window, and I guess it's up maybe 45 degrees.
Okay, give us a hack, and we're copying your noun 20s right now. So.
Okay, Jack says pitched up about 30 degrees, but,
No, 45 degrees.
No, 8 degrees. It's 45 degrees pitched up, and I'll give you a heck when it crosses the XX axis. Okay, mark it. It just crossed through the...
Mark, we got him.
Let's call it the XZ plane of the spacecraft. One unique thing about it, Bob, is that it's got two flashes. As it comes around in rhythmic fashion, you get a very bright flash, and then you get a dull flash. And then it'll come around with a bright flash, and then a dull flash.
That's the side end of the S-4B and then the engine bell, Gene. The commander doesn't think that I can see the engine bell on that thing.
Roger, Jack. Is that with the monocular that you're looking at?
He couldn't see the engine bell if he had 10 binoculars.
Okay, I've got the cable restored now.
Second round.
Bob, a couple revolutions ago when I was looking at it, I had a much brighter view, and I believe I was looking at it broadside. It looks to me like it may be flashing more or less in on now. It's much not as bright, although it's getting brighter, but it's not as bright now as it was a while ago.
Roger, Jack.
For about 24 hours or so, I just hadn't put it together as maybe being the S-4B. I thought it was just some other particle out there.
Roger, Jack.
Hey, Robert, what's the final Cowboy score?
Okay, I was just going to update that. The Cowboys won it 34-24. And by winning it, they wrap up the wild card slot in the NFC, and so both Washington and Dallas will be in the playoffs.
Sounds good.
Has a mushroom pattern on the top. It has the appearance as if two major air masses, one going from west to east and the other from east to west, have converged along that line, and the joint movement of air at the interface being south to north. And up in the area of Hawaii, I think, it tends to mushroom so that the pattern then goes back to a flow from west to east on the east side and from east to west on the west side.
Roger.
In a little while, we're probably going to get a pretty good look of a what looks like a very concentrated and intense storm that I think is just east.
That was good for the flight plan and stuff. And the little books. Hey, Bob.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Jack. Read you loud and clear.
Okay, Bob, you want to update the LOI card in flight plan 382 and 381, is that right?
That's affirmative.
Which one do you want to start on?
I would say 381 is the most difficult one to start on.
Okay, in that case, why don't you start on the board on the cue card?
Okay, we can start on the cue card. Your druthers.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm ready.
Okay, on the LOI limits, the VGO column. Let's go right down the VGO column. I think that'd be the easiest way to do it. Where it says VGO okay. 2980, change that to 2986.
Why don't you just keep going?
Okay, the next one. Going straight down the line, 2721. 2521. And 2316. That's all the changes on the VGO line.
Okay, and all those changes were in mode 1.
That's affirmative.
Okay, I got 2986, 2721, 2521, 2316.
Roger, now under the burn time column. The first one opposite the 2986, the burn time remains the same. Do not change that one. The next one changes 0 plus 40.
Which one is that, Bob? I missed you.
Okay, where it says 0 plus 28, change that to 0 plus 40.
Okay, press on through them all now.
Change the 0 plus 531 to 1 plus 10. Change the 1 plus 31 to the number 1 plus 40. Over.
Okay, I got in order burn time 0 and then 0 plus 40, 1 plus 10, 1 plus 40.
Roger. The measured column. The first one, the 0, does not change. The next ones are in this order. 2, 6, 5. 4, 6, 5. And 6, 7, 0. Over.
Okay, I got 0, 2, 6, 5, 4, 6, 5, and 6, 7, 0.
That's affirmative, Gene. That's the changes to the LOI limit cue card.
Okay, Bob. I think we got all that. I guess Delta V measure down there in the bottom, 2980 should be 2986, huh?
Roger, we felt that wasn't, that is correct. To be technically correct, it should be 2986 at that last one.
Okay, I guess we're coming in just a skosh hotter, huh?
That's affirmative. You'll see from the curves that we're going to have to update that you're a lot closer to the free return trajectory.
Okay, why don't you go ahead on 381?
Okay, this is a tough one. The first thing we're going to do is plot a couple 3 points here in the mode 1. two-hour, the mode 1 2-hour line changes also. So you might want to draw a line at a LOI delta V DVM of 265, and draw that straight up the curve. That'll be the note.
Okay,
new
LOI delta V magnitude of DVM of 265, huh?
Roger. That will be the crossover point from the mode 1 2-hour to the mode 1 30-minute.
Bob, are you there?
That's affirmative. Go ahead.
Okay, Bob, I got 265 vertical line drawn, and I expect I can extend the mode 1 2-hour abort to that limit.
That is affirmative, Gene. Now, you're going to have a new curve, so don't bother to draw on the old curve. We're going to give you 3 points to plot and draw a straight line in between them that'll create a new curve. Okay, the first one is the point is defined with a delta VM of 0 and abort delta V of 1525.
Okay.
Okay, the second point is defined by a delta VM of 150. And abort delta V of 1810. Over.
Bob, that last was 1810.
That's affirmative. Okay, and the last point is defined by delta VM of 265 and abort delta V of 2105. The curve defined by those 3 points will be your LOI plus 2-hour abort delta V.
Okay, and that last point is just the dips available curve with 265.
That's affirmative.
Okay, it's drawing in.
Okay,
and,
now we got a curve one.
I guess at two. Okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I cut you out. Did you have something else you want on it?
No, it's good. I curved in.
Okay, curve one is 2 points defining it. The first one is delta VM of 265, abort delta V of 1855.
Okay.
And the second one is a delta VM of 400, abort delta V of 2065.
Okay.
Okay, those 2 points form the curve one of the mode one 30-minute.
Okay, I got it.
Okay, now, curve two has 3 points defining it. The first point is identical with the end point of curve one. It's 400 on the delta VM and 2065 on the abort delta V.
All right.
Okay, the second point is 530 for the DVM and 2245 for the abort delta V.
Okay.
And the last point is DVM of 670 and a delta V, abort delta V of 2475. Okay, and if you draw a line up the page at the DVM of 670, that is the end of the mode 1 30-minute, and everything to the right of that, you're in mode 2. Gene Houston.
Stand by, Bob.
Roger.
Hello, Houston, are you reading yet?
Roger, go ahead.
Okay, Bob, curve looks good. I just checked the DIPSAC crossover on the dips available, and it comes out with what you gave me on the card, about 25-21.
Roger, and just one minor point. Across the top on the velocity to be gained, you can bias all those numbers and add a 6 to every one of them across the top to be technically correct.
Okay.
The next time we've had on that, Jane.
Technically correct. I could have done that before I plotted the curve, but that's good. We understand and we got it down.
Okay, the next thing I've got is that whole update column in the little block there is all updated, and we'll probably ought to get a read back on all these numbers, Gene. I can give it to you right like a regular pad, just from right down to the top to the bottom, and then read it back to me. I think it'd be the best way, don't you?
Okay, Ron, going to go ahead and take him, and we'll double-check him, and he'll read him back.
Okay.
Okay, just go ahead and start at the top and go down.
Okay, I'm starting at LOI ignition time. 8-8-5-4-2-6.8. Pitch is -4.3, yaw 1.1.2. GET abort ignition, 8-9-2-4-2-6.8. Roll 2.1.7. Pitch 6, yaw 25. -42 on the pitch, 1.10 on the yaw. 2.16.6.18. High gain angles again, -7.5. Yaw 2.50. GET abort ignition there, 9.0.5.4.2.6.8. 1.5.3.1.7.1.9. Next time there is GET abort ignition for the limb FDI angles there. 9.0.5.4.2.6.8. Roll pitch and yaw angles, 2.02.2.9.3.3.0. Over.
Okay, Bob, here we go, and read back. I'll just read right down the line. 8.8.5.4.2.6.8, -4.3.1.1.2. 8.9.2.4.2.6.8, 2.17.6.25, -4.2.1.10.2.16.6.18, -7.5.2.50.9.0.5.4.2.6.8, 1.53.17.19. 9.0.5.4.2.6.8, 2.02, 2.9, 3.3.0. Over.
Roger, Ron, a real good readback. On the next page, on page 382, the data there is exactly the same as the LOI limit cue card, the changes. We can read it up to you individually, or you can take it from your cue card, your choice.
No, we'll change it from the cue card.
Okay.
Bob, since they won't let me write anything, I tried looking for the moon near the sun with the filters and could not see it.
Roger.
You sure you're sending us to the right place?
Roger, Jack. Hey, I got some information on that S-4B that you're looking at. The azimuth was within 1 degree of what you called when we checked out on your angles. Hey, Jack, Houston.
Go ahead, Bob.
This word's for Jack and Gene. The trench has computed the S-4B location reference your body axis, and the azimuth was within 1 degree, very close, and the we calculate it should have been out of that window at 62 degrees from the x-axis, and you reported 45 degrees, which is just 17-degree error is real close there, you know, just eyeballing it like that.
That's great. Then it is the S-4B, huh?
Okay, well, you might check it this way, Jack. Line up the star Denebola and Rigel. Say in Regulus, I'm sorry, Regulus. Denebola and Regulus. And then on that line, go perpendicular to that line right above Regulus, and that should be the S-4B. It forms one point of a right triangle with the Nebula and Regulus.
What you're saying is it's the eye of Leo the Lion.
That's firm.
Except we can't see Leo the Lion very well.
Okay.